Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What we're going to do tonight, of course, is finish our study on the commission. It's been a lot of fun. We've been looking at what we're calling selected passages from the New Testament dealing with God's plan and purpose and responsibility and all those for those who know Jesus Christ as Savior. What we're seeing is, what are we supposed to do? What's the plan? We're calling this, of course, our commission. And as we bring our study to a close, and really it won't be a very long tonight in the sense, because we're going to just review some of the things that we have seen. And, you know, I didn't bring my overheads, but you do. I hope everyone has these two, okay, because I forgot to bring the overheads, but this is what we're looking at the very end anyway. We're going to have a summary and review of the commission. It's so vital. And this is the key. This is what God has for us to do. We want to be faithful men and women to make an impact for Christ. And that's the goal for our lives, is to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So as we finish, we're going to look and may we have an understanding of our commission, and may we fulfill our commission. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the food and just the opportunity to come into fellowship that way. And thank you for those who fixed it and handed it out and cleaned it up and all of those things involved with that ministry. And we just thank you for Wednesday night and the meals. Lord, we thank you that we can come together anytime we want to. And Lord, we thank you for Wednesday nights as we come together and to pray and to sing and to study the Word of God and to eat and to fellowship. So it's a great time. Lord, we think about, you have left us on this earth. You have given to us a responsibility, a privilege. And Lord, I pray that as we finish our study tonight, we'll be mindful of the commission that you've given to us so that we can continue to make an impact for you. And Lord, that's what I pray. I pray not only for us individually that we'll make an impact for Jesus Christ, but as a church, as a local body, as a light in this community, you will use us to make a difference for you. Lord, we ask you that you would teach us right now, help us to understand the things that are here. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go ahead and if you're 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 10, because this verse gives us a powerful truth from the Word of God. Now, most of you know 2 Corinthians 5:10, but it says this: we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Literally, the word bad, by the way, is worthless. It is something that just doesn't have much, and so that's how it's translated. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And, of course, we know that this is a time for all of us as believers that we will stand before our great God and Savior. Remember, when it says judgment seat of Christ, it's not judgment in the sense of judging a person whether they go to hell or heaven, because we know that salvation is a gift and that we go to hell or heaven. We go to heaven by faith in Jesus Christ. People are separated from Jesus Christ because they do not believe in Him. It's that simple. By faith in Christ, you have eternal life. You reject Jesus Christ, you're separated from Christ. And so He says that we as believers, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's the word, the Greek word is bema, B-E-M-A, which literally means a rewarding stand. There's going to come a time when all of us as believers will stand before our Savior, not for a judgment of determining eternal death, destiny, but in a sense a judgment to determine rewards. And it's pretty powerful. The judgment seat of Christ is a rewarding stand, and we'll be there. Notice how the verse says it: we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed. And the word recompense literally means to be given back. We'll be rewarded for how we lived. And that's why he goes on to say that we'll be recompensed according for the deeds that they've done in this body, how we've lived, the things that we've done, according to what we've done, whether good or bad. We know if it's good, there's rewards there. If it's bad or worthless, there won't be rewards. Now, once again, this has nothing to do with salvation, but it has to do with our rewards. I just want you to listen to this. You don't have to turn there. Just stay in 2 Corinthians 5. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talks about rewards, and here's what he says. He says, "Do you not know that all who run in a race, all run to win, but only one receives the prize? So run in such a way that you may win." Now, he's talking to believers, and he's talking about gaining rewards. And he says, listen, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. They do this to receive a perishable reward. But we run, as Paul says, I run without aim, in such a way as yet without aim or not without aim. I run in such a way that I take care of my body. I control myself, basically, so that I may not be disqualified. He says, run so you get the prize. So it's a great truth for all of us that one day we'll stand before our Savior to be rewarded. 1 Corinthians 3 actually says they'll be tested by fire. It says that our works will be tested, and verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 3 says, and if so-called things remain, we will be rewarded. So our ultimate goal is to hear our Savior say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Here's the rewards." Well, if that's what we want to hear Him say, then here's the question. What are we supposed to do then? What are we supposed to do so that we can gain reward, so that we can hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant? Well, what we've been seeing in these few weeks, in fact, I think this is lesson 14, so that's taken us 14 weeks to go through this, we are seeing what we're called the commission. We're to be faithful to fulfill the commission that God has given us. We've been looking at this so that we can know. And most people, if you just said to them, what do you think the commission for believers is? Almost everybody would go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. What we've done is gone not only to Matthew 28, but Mark chapter 16 and Luke chapter 24 and John chapter 17, 20 and 21 and Acts chapter 1. We've gone to those places to see what the commission is that God has for us. And so we want to fulfill the commission. And obviously, if we're going to fulfill the commission, we need to know what it is. And so tonight, as we finish our study, all we're going to do basically is just a brief review, a brief summary of the study and a review, and then sort of a little challenge to what we want to do. Now, I don't know why I don't have my overheads, but this one, the one that's the purple one on the commission, does anybody have it? Okay, I hope you got it. If you don't have it, you're not going to be able to see this. But unless your eyes are really a lot better than mine, you're not going to see any of this. But anyway, in the commission, we looked at three things. We looked, first of all, at our purpose individually. The second thing, we looked at the purpose of the local church. And then the third thing, we went to the commission and looked at those five places, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Now, that was the plan. Now, let me remind you of some things as we think about it. We said, first of all, our purpose individually. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think the purpose that we saw individually for each of us, simply put, is that we have been given a ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is when we began the study those 14 weeks ago. This is where we started, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. He just got through saying that if any man's in Christ, we're a new creation. Then he says all these things are from God, new things are from God. God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, notice, the ministry of reconciliation. I think one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is that every person is in the ministry. All of us who know Christ as Savior are in ministry. The Bible doesn't look at it as a full-time ministry and no ministry. The Bible looks at it that everybody's in the ministry, but some people earn their living from the ministry. But all of us are in ministry. And in this passage, he says we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Notice again at the verse 18 where he says, God has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God has reconciled mankind to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us that ministry. We get to tell people, that's the ministry of reconciliation, we get to tell people how God brought people back to himself. You know, in both the 4:12 and the 2:2, we've come up with this way of describing the Bible. The Bible is the story of what? The perfect God bringing sinful man back to himself using his son Jesus Christ. That's reconciliation. That's the story of the Bible. In fact, when you say salvation, to be real honest with you, salvation is too vague a term, because there is justification salvation, there's sanctification salvation, there's glorification salvation. There's salvation in the past, salvation in the present, salvation in the future. So when you start saying, let's talk about salvation, you could say, which salvation are you talking about? But you can then take that and come back to the point of reconciliation, how God brings man to himself. That's the story of the Bible, and that's the ministry that we've been given. We get to tell people how God has brought man back to himself. Look at verse 19 where he gives more details. Namely, that God was in Christ, we'd say it this way, God was using Christ, bringing the world, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Why? Because he put them on Christ, and has committed to us the word, the message of reconciliation. He tells us that we get to go out and tell people how they can be reconciled to God. How can a person be reconciled to God? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the bottom line. So, and that that handout that we said, the plan for us individually was to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, to keep our focus on Christ. And the third thing was to realize we represent Christ. And if you're right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I just read verse 19. Verse 20 is that verse that says, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's a key thing. And so one of the things I think we need to realize that as far as individual purpose in life, we have been, each one of us in this room have been given a ministry. It is a ministry to tell the rest of the world how God has reconciled man to himself through Jesus Christ and how they can be reconciled to God simply by faith. That's it. Now, that's the ministry individually. From that, we then talked about the church. That was the second thing down on the handout, which was the local church. And we said, amazing thing is the church's responsibility is exactly the same as the individual's, and that's the ministry of reconciliation in a community, bottom line. The local church meets together that has the responsibility to do that. And we talked about that it's really powerful, and that the church must have three vital experiences that I put for you. They have to make sure the Word of God is taught. They have to make sure there's fellowship with God and fellow believers. And then they have to make sure there is evangelism, where they talk and take the message of salvation to those who do not know. So in summary, we started our study and said, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're supposed to do. Now that takes us to the second part. What do we do, and how do we fulfill the ministry? And that is, he has given us a commission. He's been very exact on this thing. He says, you've got a ministry of reconciliation. Here's what I want you to do. And that's where we looked at this handout right here, which is the green one, which talked about the commission and gave us the five places in the New Testament in which the commission is found. It's found in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John, actually chapter 17, chapters 20 and chapter 21, and then Acts chapter 1. Those five places where we see what is called the Great Commission. And we spent a number of weeks on those. Some of those, each one of those, we spent some of them 2 to 3 weeks. The Gospel of John, we spent at least 3 or 4 lessons just on John's commission and as we went through that. Now, there are three things I want you to think about as we finish this out tonight, and we'll see it. Three things to remember and realize. Number one is we represent Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. I'm going to give you the details on it in a minute. You can write that down if you want to. You don't have to write it down. But number one is we represent Christ. Number two, we are to go to all people with the message. So number one, we represent Christ. Number two, we go to all people. And number three, we are to make disciples. Now, making disciples involves two things. Anybody know what they are? Evangelism and training. That's exactly it. So those three things stand out. We'll see them. And if you got your Bibles, of course, we're gonna look at verses in some places very quickly. So I'll just say, look at Mark 16, verse 47. Look at this or, you know, something. So be ready in just a second. I just want you to see these things. Three things. We represent Christ. We go to all people. And we're to make disciples. Let's start with the first thing. We represent Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, where we are, says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were entreating through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The first thing we realize is we represent Jesus Christ. We represent Him. We are not representing a church. See, there are a lot of people who think they represent their church. They don't represent their church. You're not representing a denomination. You're not representing certain groups. You're not representing, as some call it, a movement. You're not representing a movement. You're representing a person. The person is Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world. We are going out as representatives of Jesus Christ. We happen, as a whole, to come together to a local church. We call it Countryside. We come together. This is our local body of Christ where we're together. But we don't represent Countryside. We represent Jesus Christ. And that's something that a lot of people get confused on. And they want to talk about my church, my church, my church. And what you need to talk about is your Savior, your Savior, your Savior. Because that's who we represent. In Matthew, and if you want to, you can flip to Matthew, but we're gonna move around fairly quickly. But in Matthew, Jesus starts off, and you don't have to even turn there. Go ahead and go to Luke 24, so you'll be ready when we get there. But in Matthew, Jesus said this. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. We find out that we represent Jesus Christ because He is all of the authority. And so the first aspect is we represent Christ. Look at Luke. Luke tells us we represent Christ. Look at Luke 24. Look at verse 47. This is Jesus speaking, and here's what He says. And I'll give everybody just a chance to get there. Luke 24, verse 47. He said that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed, notice, in His what? Name. He said, you go out representing me. You go in my name. Not a church, not a denomination, not a movement, not a group, but you go representing Jesus Christ. He says, so this message is to proclaim in my name. Look at John 17. Look at John 17. Look at verse 18. When you get over there, John 17, verse 18, Jesus is speaking. He's talking to His men. Notice what He says. I'll give everybody just a second to get there. This is one of those nights we kind of turn to a lot of places, which is unusual. But in John 17, verse 18, Jesus is speaking and he's praying to the Father, and he says, as you did send me, he's saying, Heavenly Father, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. He's saying, I'm sending you out. You're representing me. Just as Jesus came to represent the Father, and Jesus came and said, I didn't come to do my will, I came to do the will of the Father. Jesus is saying, I'm sending you out, and you're representing me. In John 20, you don't have to turn there, but in John 20, verse 21, he says basically the same thing. I've sent you out. Flip over as you're turning, go on to Acts chapter 1, and I want you to see what it says. We're to be representing Jesus. Notice Acts chapter 1, the famous verse that we always see is Acts 1 verse 8. So when you get there, I'll give everybody just a second to get there. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, notice what he says. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? My witnesses. Or some Bibles say witnesses of me. My witnesses. So the first thing I want you to think about is that we represent Christ. Matthew said all authority has been given to him. Luke said we go out in his name. John says, as Jesus is saying, I'm sending you out. In Acts he says, you shall be my witnesses. So the first thing I want you to realize, the focus when we go out these doors. Now you remember, we gather and we scatter. But the focus is Jesus Christ. We represent him. And that's why I think when you think about the Christian life, you run the race with endurance looking unto Jesus. Everything deals with Christ. It all goes back to him. He's the reason we're here. He is the Savior of the world. He is the one that we're proclaiming. The ministry of reconciliation talks about how God brought man back to himself using Jesus Christ. It's the same thing. So that's the first thing I want you to think about. The second thing, and this one won't take as long to go through, but the second thing is to realize that we go to all people. Now, I want you to know that when Jesus first talked to these men and got ready to send them out, I want you to understand that to go to all people would be a little bit foreign to them. They did not think they should go to who? Gentiles and those old Samaritan people. You remember when Jesus sent his men out the first time? I mean, the very first time when he started his ministry, where did he send them to? You know, don't you? Yeah, but he said, go to certain people. Who? The Jews. He sent them out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told them not to go to the Gentiles. Now that doesn't make sense, does it? Why did he send them to the Jews first? That's exactly right. He's proclaiming that he is the King of Israel. He has offered himself as the King of the Jews. And that's the issue of his first coming, is he offered himself as King. They rejected him. And so after his death and resurrection, then what does he say? You must go to all people. Now, I want you to think about something. Why would you go to all people? Well, first of all, he's the satisfactory payment not for our sins only, but for the sins of what? Entire world. If Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for everybody's sins, and he did, then we're to go with the message to who? The whole world. Think about this. You don't have to turn there. Matthew 28, verse 19, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, all nations. Mark 16, verse 15, he says, go to all the world. In Luke 24, verse 47, he says, go and take the message to all nations. In John 17, verse 18, he says, I send you into the world, the whole world. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I want you to be my witnesses, first of all, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the whole rest of the world. So the second thing that we have to realize is that we have the commission to take the message to every person. Now, there are a lot of people, I can't even remember, I think it was this morning, somebody was talking to me about, they know some people who hold to a different view of salvation, and that God has chosen all people, and he has, by the way, but the idea that you don't need to witness because God's going to save whoever he's going to save, and you don't even have a part in it. That's wrong. How does God bring people to himself? Huh? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the, how are they going to hear the word of Christ? Huh? We tell them, right? Don't we go with the word of reconciliation? Don't we go with the message of salvation? How are they going to know if we don't tell them? God uses each one of us to go into this world with the message of salvation to all people. And we tell all people that you can be reconciled to God by faith in Jesus Christ. That Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. All who will believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Matthew says all nations. Mark says to the world. Luke says all nations. John says to the world. Acts says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest part of the earth. It was a shock to those men that not only were they going to go to the Jews, which they thought they should, but they were going to have to go to the Samaritans. They were going to have to go to the Gentiles. And we watched in the book of Acts how these men changed their mindset, how Peter, when he went to Cornelius' house, said, well, I've been really thinking a lot about this, and God has shown me that I'm supposed to go to all people. Incredible. Jesus Christ died for every person. He paid for the sins of every person. We're to take the message to every person. We've seen two things. We represent Jesus Christ. Second, we go to the entire world. And the third thing is, this is our plan. Representing Christ, going to the world, we are to make disciples. That's the third thing. This is the plan. This is what God has for us to do. Think about the commission. Now, somebody could say, well, isn't that just Matthew 28? That's Matthew 28. Because Matthew says, Jesus came up and spoke and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples. That's the summary statement. That's why at Countryside, if you said, what are key verses? What are the key verses that you believe that this church is supposed to know? One of the first ones would be Matthew 28, 18 through 20, to make disciples, which is evangelism and training. And then we'd have verses about 1 Peter 3, where it'd be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. Know the gospel and be ready to present it to people, to as they that understand the truth. We'd take verses like Ephesians 4:12, equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. 2 Timothy 2:2, take the things you've been taught and trust it to faithful people who will teach others. We'd take those verses and say, these are the key things we're to do. Well, Matthew 28 is one of the key places, and that is to make disciples. And as we said a while ago, that making disciples involves two things. Evangelism and training. Now, most people get confused on that. A lot of people think the commission for the believers is to do what? Just lead people to Christ. We've already said that we go out representing Christ to all people with this whole message of reconciliation. But I want you to understand the message of reconciliation is not just salvation. It is growing in the grace and knowledge as well as you're reconciled to Him in your fellowship, growing in all of those things. So that's why Matthew 28 is our basic charge, and that is to make disciples. Now let's think about it. In fact, turn to Matthew 28 because I want you to see that as we look at it. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, I want you to see how that fits together. Now I love this passage. It's not the last thing Jesus taught. The last thing Jesus taught is Acts chapter 1, about verses 3, 4, 5, all the way through about verse 9, and then He ascends into heaven. This is not the last thing. This takes place in Galilee, which is the northern part of Israel. The last thing that He taught took place on the Mount of Olives, which is right outside Jerusalem, and He's gone. So this is not the last thing, but this is one of the key things. Notice Matthew 28, verse 16. The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples. We said that making disciples involves two things, and that is evangelism. The second thing is training. Let's think about evangelism, because this is a key for all of us in this room. If we're going to make disciples, as you know, we represent Christ. We go to the world to make disciples. And the first thing is evangelism. Well, notice, what is evangelism? By the way, tell me, what is evangelism? What is it? Okay, it's sharing our faith, right? I mean, it's not a hard question. I mean, evangelism is telling people about Jesus Christ, sharing our faith. That's what it is. So we get to go into this world with the message of salvation. Now, to understand the message of salvation or to have the aspect of evangelism, we got to know the message. What is the message? What's it called? The gospel. What does gospel mean? Good news. Where would you find it in the scripture? 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 and 4. Literally 1 through 8, but verses 3 and 4 in particular. The gospel has two parts. Part 1 is Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. What's part 2? rose again on the third day, according to the Scripture. That's the gospel message, that Jesus died and rose again. What's the response to the gospel? To believe. What verse would you use, or what verses? Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. What else would you use? John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes. Romans 4:5, to whom it does not work, but believes. Galatians 3:26, you're children of God by faith. Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace you've been saved through faith. Over and over and over. So if we're going to go out and to evangelize, we better be very clear on what the message is and very clear on what the response is. Now, oftentimes people are fairly clear on the message. They'll say this usually, Jesus died for you on the cross. They leave out an important part. What is that? Rose again. But then when they get to the response, that's where people tend to mess up the message. Instead of saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved, they sometimes, without realizing it, are adding works like, walk down this, give your life to this, repent of this, be willing to do this, get baptized. They add all of these things to it, which confuses the message. The response to the gospel is very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. That's that simple. Now, I want you to just think through this, because the evangelism part in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, you don't have to turn there, but in Mark 16 through 15, chapter 16, verse 15, he says, go with the gospel message to all people. We get to tell people how Jesus Christ died and rose again, how he gives eternal life simply by faith. Listen to this one. In Luke 24, verse 47, he says, go with the message of forgiveness of sins to all nations. How do you have forgiveness of sin? By faith, right? Now, let me ask you this, and we've talked about this before, but it's just a technical thing that you need to understand. Is there a difference between the payment for sin and forgiveness of sin? How do you have payment for sin? By the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Does every person have the payment for sin? Yes. How do you have forgiveness of sin? By faith. Acts 13:38. Whoever believes has forgiveness of sins. So it's an important thing to realize that every human being has the payment for sin, but that doesn't save you. You're not saved by having the payment for your sins. You're saved when you have forgiveness of sins that comes by faith. It doesn't say that you're saved by the payment of sin. It says you are saved by faith. It's an important thing. So think about that. So Luke 24:47, forgiveness of sins to all nations. John chapter 20, one of the great passages, he says, you go out and you can proclaim to them forgiveness of sins. So the gospel message is that we go out with the great truth of knowing the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, proclaiming the forgiveness of sins by faith in Jesus Christ, and they have eternal life. That's evangelism. But that's not the end of it. There's the second part, and that's training. And if you're in Matthew 28, look what he says in Matthew 28:18-20. He says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now, some people read the verse wrong. They read it this way, teaching them all I have commanded you. Is that what he said? He said, teaching them to what? Obey it, observe all that I have commanded. So the second part of our commission is to train one another. Now, you've heard me say this a lot of times, but it is so true. When we do the membership training seminar, I will ask whoever's there, I'll say, how many of you in this room believe it is your responsibility as a Christian to share your faith? Every hand goes up. Then I say, how many of you believe it is your responsibility as a Christian to teach other people the Bible? One or two hands go up. It is your responsibility to train and to teach people the Word of God. Every one of us, that's part of the Great Commission. That's part of making disciples. It is evangelism and training. That's why the Bible says we equip the saints to do the ministry. That's why the Bible says take the things you've been taught and trust them to faithful people who will be able to teach others. That's the whole plan. And so the second aspect of this is training. Not only Matthew 28, verse 20, but remember John chapter 21. What did he tell Peter to do? Three times. feed my sheep. That means taking care of. That means train them. To feed them is to give them the Word of God so they can understand it and grow. That's what we're supposed to do. I think the world would be changed if the believers realized that they do ministry. If they do the ministry of reconciliation, if they're the ones to lead people to Christ, if they're the ones to disciple and to train and equip and all of these things, I think things would change because everybody would realize that it is all of our responsibility to do that. It's pretty powerful. Feeding and leading, that's tending the sheep. And so we're to make disciples. As we go into the world with the message of forgiveness, then we train believers to know and apply the Word of God. It's that simple. Now, it's hard, but it's that simple. So simply put, we've seen three things. We represent Christ, we go to all the world, and we go to make disciples, which is evangelism and training. Now, since I don't have my overhead, I do at the bottom of this page, the green one, I have that little summary of putting the whole thing together. You remember what we said? It reads this way. We go in the name of Jesus Christ to all people, making disciples as we give the message of forgiveness of sin and train believers to serve. That's those three things. Remember, number one, we go in the name of Jesus. We go in the name of Jesus. We go to all the world. We go to all people. And what's the final thing? We are to make disciples, which is evangelism and training. We are to make disciples, which is to give the message of forgiveness and then train them to serve. So that little statement that I had at the end of this is really a summary of the Great Commission and our commission. And if you just remember it simply, we represent Jesus, we go to all people, and we go to make disciples. So with that in mind, let me give you three applications that we'll close with and we'll open up for any questions you have. The first application is realize that you represent Christ. That's the commission. We represent Him. It is not a church, not a denomination, not a group, but the person of Jesus Christ. And if you keep your focus on Him, you're going to be okay. And let me tell you this. You keep your focus on Christ, guess what? You won't be disappointed in people. Because see, when people think they represent a church or a pastor or a group, sometimes there are people in those groups that let them down. And then they get frustrated. And then they say, I'm not doing this anymore. Problem is, they forgot who they really represent. Because Jesus never lets you down. So you represent Him. That way you don't have to look at people. You don't have to worry about who's doing what's right and who's not doing right. You just represent Jesus Christ and you're okay. The second thing to remember is realize that you go to all people. That's everyone, everywhere we go with the message of salvation. Now, why do we go to all people? Two things. He died for every person. 1 John 2:2, He's the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. And number two, He's the only Savior. We can't sit here and say, well, people in China, they'll come up with another way. There is no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, there's no other name given under heaven among men where we might be saved except the name Jesus Christ. So there's not another way. We can't look around and say, well, those other people in other parts of the world, they'll find another way. There is no other way. That's why we have to go to all people. And that means going to people that you may not even like. Because the Jewish people were having to go out to the Samaritans and the Gentiles, and they didn't like any one of them. And you may say, well, boy, I don't like my neighbor. He's weird. Okay, well, he may think you're weird, you know. And so what do? We go to all people. The final thing is make disciples. The goal is to lead people to Christ and then train them. Evangelism is going with the message of forgiveness. Training them is to take the Word of God, knowing and applying it in their lives. So let's tell the good news message. When we scatter out, we want to go with the great clear message that salvation is a gift. It's just by faith in Jesus Christ. He died and rose again. Whoever believes in Him has eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, and righteousness, those things. And then we take the gifts and talents and abilities that we have, and we use those investing our lives in other people and help train and equip people so they can do the same thing. Taking the truths of God's Word and helping them understand it to grow. May we be faithful representatives of Jesus Christ, going to all people with the message of forgiveness and training believers to know and apply God's Word. That's our commission. And we want to be faithful because we want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. We'll open up for questions. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this study of the commission. And Lord, when we think about it, it seems you know, so simple. And then when you look at it, and there's just so much there that you have for us. But Lord, we're thankful that we represent you, because you're the Savior, and we belong to you, and we get to represent you. We get to go into all the world, starting right here and then having it spread throughout the whole rest of the world. We get to go with the message of forgiveness. And then, Lord, finally, we get to make disciples, and that is the evangelism part and then the training part. And, Lord, we know that many, many places have missed the second part, the training and equipping the believers to do ministry. May this local body see the commission as representing you, going into the world, making disciples, which is evangelism, and then training, leading people to Christ, training them to know and apply the Word of God so they can do the same thing. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name.